I got things color-coded on here, and there's some things as we jump into this psalm. Sometimes as you read and reread and reread, you begin to see themes, right? It's just like, whoa, I didn't catch that in there. So as I was going through, these are some of the main themes that I see in Psalm 119, you know, that God, he does delight. He wants to bless. God in him, guys, is true happiness. We also see a call throughout for obedience, holiness. Prayer is a theme that we'll see. I highlighted that in blue. Light brown, I stole Shalom's marker for that one. Affliction, there's wisdom, pilgrimage, God's character, worship, praise, thanksgiving, love, meditation. There's a lot of scripture on revival, revive my heart, hope and waiting, spiritual wear and seeking. So if you take a picture of this, we'll be throwing it up, but you'll be able to reference through because I'll try to throw up just the different things I laid out with the different themes, and you'll see some that actually overlap quite a bit. So I don't want to make it complicated. I just want to allow the Word of God to speak, but it's good for us to catch themes. What are you trying to communicate, God, by your Spirit, which inspired all Scripture, right? What do you have? So, Father, we just want to pray and ask, Lord, as your Word is Spirit and it is truth, we need to have ears to hear. We need help with discernment. So we just pray you'd open up our understanding tonight, that your word would really speak to our hearts. I just pray for each here taking the time to, Father, just delight in you, in your word, that we're able to do this together. So we just invite you to come and to speak to us through your word and just this great psalm, Psalm 119, nothing like it. And I just pray our hearts would be stirred up, Lord, that we would thirst and hunger for your word, for you in new ways. So we ask this in your name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to just walk through this psalm just one verse at a time, okay, very slowly. It's 176. I'm hoping to be out of here within, well, somebody tell me when it's 5:30, 6:30, 7 o'clock. We're going to be done by 7, Lord willing. I don't have my watch. I took it off. So Scott would love to throw things at me. So if 7:30 hits, bro, you have permission. He was trying to get me with a sword last night. I got pictures to prove it. But anyways, let's get into this. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed are the defiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, as we talked about this morning, there's 22 sections of 8 verses each. It actually teaches children this psalm. The Hebrew alphabet is what they're learning as they go through that. And we also know there's scriptures in this psalm that talk about God's word being sweeter than honey. Something a Jewish mom or dad would do in teaching them, they would give, you know, the book or the scroll, hey, we're going to learn this together, and they would actually write out the different alphabet letters with honey, and then they would recite this, and the kids would actually lick it as they were learning. A little goofy, but it's just like one of those things, your word is sweeter than honey, and that's something they did. So they would do this to learn their Hebrew alphabet, but at the same time, they're learning about the importance of God's word. So verse 2, blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with their whole heart. Now, I think sometimes we can seek God with a partial heart, right? Do we actually do that with our whole heart? And there's blessings. You guys can write next to the word blessed, happiness. It's the same word. And happy is those who really do seek the Lord with their whole heart, truly delight in him. Now keep your finger there and go to the first psalm, Psalm 1. I want you guys to check this out because it sounds very similar, doesn't it? Because Psalms begins by saying, blessed is the man, or happy is the man. Sounds very similar to the first couple of verses here in Psalm 119. But what does Psalm 1 tell us? Blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in what? It's in the law of the Lord. Day and night, he meditates on the word. And because of that, he'll be like this tree, big tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. Okay, and that's what you want from your tree. You want fruit. And this is what happens when you delight in the Lord, whose leaf, it's never going to wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff that just is driven away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's a choice that we really have, guys. Happiness, the first word, blessed, or the last word of the psalm, in Psalm 1, perish. That's our choice. And we're told if we delight in the word, guys, we will be blessed. So that's part of the choice. If we're going to choose that, we delight in the word. And that's what this psalmist of Psalm 119 really lays out, the blessedness, the delight for us to actually seek the Lord with our whole heart. Okay? And that's really the question. Are we seeking? So let's go back to Psalm 119. They also do iniquity, verse 3. They walk in his ways, and you have commanded us to keep your precepts. And we're going to see a lot of different words for the word of God, okay? Commandments, precepts, statutes, testimonies. All of these are referring back to the scriptures, guys. So every verse in Psalm 119, there's 176 of them. All of them, I think I found three, maybe four, don't reference the word of God specifically. But every single other one is the importance of his word. Look at verse 5. That my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So it's talking about this obedience for us as believers. We're going to take in your word, but we're also going to be doing your word. And then verse 6 says that I would not be ashamed. And when I look into your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart, and I will learn your righteous judgments, and I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Now, that last part there is a prayer, isn't it? And you guys are going to see prayers mixed in as the psalmist goes through and declares these things. And I think that's something that's really good as we consider God's word, to actually be praying it in, praying over these things. What does it look like to keep your precepts, God? John 14, 15, if you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments, okay? It's like, hey, what do we do with all of this, okay? In Joshua 1, 8, just day and night, we are going to meditate upon the word of God, and whatever we do shall prosper. That's a promise. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 6, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Do we actually hunger for the Lord, for what is right, for truth? Do we delight in his word? We should, because there's blessings that come with it. Now, moving on to verse 9, the next section, and you guys can see up on the screen, oh, it's sideways. Well, just watch this for a second. We'll just do it again. Did it work now? Oops. It's still crooked. What's up with that? I did try to rotate it. Oh, you mean in the editor?
Yeah.
That's going to take too much time. All right, there we go. So we have this. Okay. What was I going to point out? I don't even know what I was going to share. It'll come back to me later. All right, the second part, okay? This is one of my favorite verses in the psalm, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Okay, and this is for all of us, but for you younger people especially. God says it's by taking heed to your word. Now, God desires a clean heart. Oh, that's what I did. I put different titles on for each section. And they kind of encompass those eight verses. So this one, the first one would be the blessed life. The second one, a clean heart, the importance of that. So in that, okay, Jesus, it's so cool. Do you guys know when Jesus was tempted, Satan came to him in the wilderness? What did Jesus choose to do? He quoted scripture, right? He used the word of God not to give in to the temptation, but to stand in the truth. No, God's declared this. This is what's true. This is what's right. So again, taking God's word, hiding it in our heart, okay? It keeps our hearts clean by taking heed to his word. One thing, you guys may have heard this before, like scriptures, it's been said, you know, that sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. And it's so true, guys. That's what God's declaring here. And there's so many people, they continue to struggle in sin. One of those things is a pastor, I have people call often, and sometimes, do you guys know anybody that struggle with addictions? Hard stuff, you know, and especially when it's a brother or sister in Christ, you're like, oh man, God set you free from this. You don't have to walk in that. You could walk in the newness of life. You could reckon yourself dead to sin, as Romans tells us. But in that, you just see brothers, they won't grow, or sisters continuing just to struggle and just can't find victory in that. And it's not going to be a pep talk that's going to help them. And you're just like, what do I do? I need prayer. Will you pray with me? Yeah, I'll pray with you. Some of you in this room, I don't always pray for people. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? You got a problem. How does a person cleanse their way? What you need to do is get into the Word of God. You need to start meditating and chewing on the Word. That's where change is going to happen. That's where you're going to see victory. And how many of you guys can testify to that? It's just one of those things. Hey, this daily bread, this is exactly what I need to be strengthened. Just as we eat food to be physically strong, guys, the Word of God, the bread of life, we need to partake of it, and we find strength in that. And I'll share a little more about that later. But let's look at verse 10 together. It says, with my whole heart, again, that whole heart idea, I've sought you. And oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, have you hidden the word of God in your heart? Have you memorized it? Because it's one of those things when you go through something, man, the Lord's word does not return void. It will come back. He will bring you to scriptures. There's times where we're going through things in life and situations come up. Like, what do I do in this situation? The Holy Spirit will bring his word to remembrance. Like, oh, this is what you want me to do. So we got to be hiding in his word. And memorizing the scripture, not just meditating, because we're going to read a lot about meditating upon the scripture. Okay, and that's important. Do you guys know that biblical? I want you to catch this. Meditation is kind of a popular thing. Do you guys know people that meditate that are not Christians? Yeah, Judy's shaking her head like, yeah, I know a bunch. What are they doing? What do they do when they meditate? Well, they can. Well, here's the reason why. Like Eastern mysticism, meditation that people talk about, okay, they are emptying themselves. That's what they're doing. I need to empty myself. And that's different than biblical meditation, because we read and it's defined as actually filling yourself with the Word of God. It's filling yourself with something. That's what we do as Christians. We are taking in truth, your Word, God. We're not emptying ourselves, right? Because Jesus even warned, like, hey, might have a demon. That demons cast out if you're empty, okay? He's going to go get buddies, and he's going to come back, and that person who was possessed before is going to be far worse off, because now they're going to be multiple demons. In other words, if we're emptying ourselves and not filling ourselves with truth, with God, we're going to be filled with something else. That's the point. So that's why when we read about meditation here in Psalm 119, we got to understand that it's biblical meditation. It's not checking out. It's not emptying. No, it's thoughtful. It's seeking the Lord. It's diving in, delighting in his word, taking it in such a way that it's touching our hearts, cleansing our hearts. So verse 11 says, the word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And purity begins with the word. If you guys struggle with purity, get into the word of God. That's where it starts, because the word tells us what's right and what's wrong, right? And he who is really looking to Christ. And one thing the scriptures do when we read it, we have an earnest expectation. I read the scriptures so often, I'm just like, Lord, we need you to come back. You are so right. We are so wrong. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In John, 1 John 3:3 tells us, everyone who has that hope purifies himself just as he is pure. But I will tell you guys, I'm not hoping on those lines of Christ's return, okay, if my mind is on other things. But if it's in his word, I'm seeing how good he is, and that makes me all the more, Lord, come quickly. We need you. Does that make sense, guys? Cool. So let's take a look now at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Everything begins, really, guys, with worship, okay? Because he goes on to say, teach me your statutes. So with my lips I have declared in all the judgments of my mouth. Do you guys know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? So what are you declaring with your lips? Okay, if you're talking about this all the time, that's what's in your heart. So you can really test yourself. If you're talking about the word of God, guess what's on the inside? What's in your heart? The word of God. Man, if you're talking about Jesus, where's Jesus? In your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12, verse 34, by the way, if you want to jot that down. I'm not making that up. So, verse 14 says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches, and I will meditate upon your precepts, and I will contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Guys, delighting in God's word really is fuel for living. That's what it is. That's how we keep going. And then moving on to the next section, it tells us in verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things, the wondrous things of your law. For I'm a stranger on the earth. Do you guys know that we're just pilgrims? We're passing through. This is not our home, guys. Hebrews 11, 13, this ain't it, right? 1 Peter 2, 11. Right? We're pilgrims just passing through. Our citizenship, as Hebrews or Philippians tells us, is in heaven. So we are strangers on the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So other words, because our citizenship is in heaven, that's our home, we should know what heavenly realities are. What does God think? What does he actually say? And then he goes on in verse 20 to say, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments all the time. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Now, God's not messing around, okay? Have you guys ever been rebuked by the Lord? Anybody? I'm not shaking heads. Yeah. The Lord will rebuke us because he loves us, right? Hebrews 12 tells us that we are his kid. If we're actually legitimate children of God, he'll spank our butt. Like it tells us, whom he loves, he chastens. So if you're being disciplined by God, that's a good thing, okay? Because he will rebuke us because he does love us. Now, verse 22 says, remove me, or the reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. And it says, princes also sit and they speak evil against me, but your servant, hey, meditates on your word day and night. So a servant, guys, if you're serving God in our culture, you're not going to be liked. You will offend people just because you're a follower of Jesus. Do you guys know that? Why are you doing that? Okay. Like, you guys know that we have a food pantry in Appleton, one of the bigger ones in the valley. We help hundreds of families every week. If you've never been down there, go down there. It's just cool to see what God is doing. But over the years, we've been doing it for 17 years, and I've actually had people within the church, okay, like pastors, leaders, not necessarily here at Freedom, but why are you doing that? And even all the more culture, you're just giving out handouts. You're not actually helping them. You're just enabling them. And it's one of those things, they're so angry and so hard towards the poor. And it's like one of those things, man, if you read the scriptures and you actually knew the heart of the living God, you would understand why we're helping the poor and the needy, because it's in the heart of God. And if you're getting his word into your heart, guess what? You're actually going to care for your neighbor. Okay. Did somebody have a question? Yeah. Only the Holy Spirit can enlighten people's eyes like that. And do you guys pray that before you get into Bible study? Like, Lord, open my heart. Help me to understand. Bring clarity. We need that. And that's one of the things that I love about the psalmist, because he gets how good God's word is. And that's why he's conveying these truths. Like, hey, this is so good to get into God's word, his testimonies. Verse 22, those princes. Verse 24, it says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Guys, his word is always good advice. Always. Every single time. You can't go wrong. So many people are looking for self-help, and we see this in the church too. The best-selling Christian books are all self-help junk. That's what it is. I mean, some of them are good because they pertain some truths. They're sharing some scripture, but some of them, it's just like, hey, if you do this, well, the Bible says actually to do this. Who's right? The Christian author? Best-selling book? Your best life now? No. According to the Bible, my best life is going to be with Jesus, face-to-face in heaven. Eternal life. No more pain. No more sorrow. Don't tell me this is my best life now. Liar. Anyways, we need to get into God's word. Now, it's one of those things, guys, books are helpful. I encourage people to read. But again, are the things we're choosing to read, is it lining up and supporting what God has declared? That's the most important. And sometimes we're so willing to run to other books except picking up the book, which is what it's all about anyways. Okay? We have the original. We got the best. We have the word of God that's living. And do you guys know that the word of God is living because the author is alive? That's why, guys. He is the Logos, John 1:1. God breathed. So cool. All right. So Proverbs 11:14, if you're taking notes around verse 24, it speaks, it's one of my favorite verses. It talks about there's a multitude of safety, or there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Okay, and I want to encourage you who are especially younger, okay, you're going to look up to Christians, you maybe are new in the Lord, and you have a lot of questions, and you want to ask, okay, you want godly people in your life, hey, I got a question, what does the Bible say about this, what do you do about that, it's good to be discipled in that, but the Bible says that there's wisdom to be had in a multitude of counselors, because not everybody has it right. And it's good to go to godly people. Hey, I got a hard situation going on right now. What do you think about this? What would your counsel be? And if they are mature in the Lord, they're going to point you to Jesus and open up the scriptures and show you why they would do what they would do. But I want to twist this just here. And it's not good to twist scripture and truth, but I'm going to twist it this way, because I think the scriptures themselves, as the psalmist is saying, they do counsel us. So if we have 66 different books, we have 66 counselors, guys. Think about that. So many people get caught up on something, and you might do that. Like, a lot of churches today hold to presuppositions. They get a thought about something like, hey, our church, and if you hear here this morning, we talked about confessions and catechisms, people can get so tripped up on like one teaching. Hey, and we have a scripture right here in the book of Ephesians or something, and it teaches us this. And this is why we believe that. We got to be really careful of that, guys, because again, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And if you're just sitting on one scripture, and we have the entire Word of God, the entire Bible, 66 books, what does the whole say into that? Because it is easy just to pick a verse here or there and like, oh, see? You know? But we got to go, what does the whole say? And that's where we find safety. And that's why we're encouraged to study. You guys can write down 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved to God, workmen that don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That isn't saying your pastor needs to do all the Bible study for you. You just show up and be spoon-fed and told what to believe. No, you guys should receive the word with all readiness, but you need to go and actually test those things. Are they true? What does the Bible teach? So you're going to be very encouraged to do that. So, what verse are we in? Oh, we're on the next section. 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. You guys ever feel that way? Psalm 23 is Finn's favorite psalm, I think. Okay, and it talks about the Lord restoring our soul. He actually can do that. He revives us. He restores us according to what? His word. Have you guys ever been going through it? Man, you feel like you're in the dust. Like, man, I got nothing. Nothing. And his word will speak life, guys. And then he says in verse 26, I've declared your ways and I've answered and you have answered me. God will teach the humble, guys. Teach me your statutes, he says. And then he says, make me to understand your precepts. This is a prayer, right? And then he goes on to say, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. My soul, it melts with heaviness. Doesn't that sound like depression? Okay. Wait a minute. This is a godly dude who's writing a psalm. He's all about the word of God. Trust in the word of God. And he's depressed. Guys, that's part of life. Godly dudes in the Bible were depressed. And we're going to go through it. Any of you guys ever get depressed? Yeah. Have you ever had the word of God revive you? It's just like, you know what? I'm down. But God, this is what you say. Okay. Years back, I went through a really bad bout of depression. Never had it before. Ended up having panic attacks. You guys ever have a panic attack? Yeah, it was bad. I thought I had a heart attack. I was like, what's going on? You know, and there were warning signs. I was burning out big time. Was not resting, overwhelmed. And I fell into a depression thing. And with the depression, okay, I went and saw some doctors. I never had it before. I thought it would pass. We're like 6 months later, almost into a year, and it's just getting worse. Okay, one of my best friends and his daughter were shot and murdered. He's like, oh, that's really not good in life. And in that, I kept going to see the doctors, and they're like, you shouldn't be functioning. How are you able to go to work? How are you still able to preach? We know you're a pastor. Well, it's because of whom I preach. It's Jesus and his word. And guys, we can feel a lot of things in life. We can feel anxious. We can feel depressed, overwhelmed. But God's word is still truth. And if God still tells us, hey, son, I love you. In your weakness, I'll give you my grace. I will give you the strength to go on. Though you feel like staying in bed all day, though you feel like quitting and just giving up, I'm calling you to love me. Love my people, serve. Okay, Lord. So you guys understand why it's important not to allow feelings to dictate your decisions. We have to allow truth. What is right? What is truth? His word is truth. And that's how we got to choose to walk, guys. I just want to encourage you. Because again, he says there, strengthen me according to your word. He got it. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, please, God, strengthen me according to what? Your word. And that's why we need to, even in times we're feeling not good about life, last thing we want to do is pick up the Bible. We have to be doing it. We stay in the word. Even in dry seasons, guys, we stick with it. And then he says, here's a prayer in verse 30 or 29. Remove from me every way of lying. And grant me your law graciously. Okay, so he wants truth. He doesn't want any lying around him. And I have chosen the way of truth For your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. And I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I think that's a cool prayer. God, enlarge my heart. I want more of you. If I'm to hide your word in my heart, give me a bigger heart so I can hide more, right? Taking it in. And guys, the key is not running from sin. It's running to Jesus. So many of us, I just got to run from sin all the time. Sin around every corner. I got to run, 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 run. No, just run to Jesus. That's all you need to do. And then verse 33, teach me, O Lord, your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Guys, a teachable spirit is a growing spirit. So keep yourselves teachable. Even if you've been in the Lord for years, decades, okay, you're always learning. We're always growing. And it's normally people who have the pride, I don't need this, I know. There's no growth. There's no breakthrough. Because pride, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if we're in that place, Lord, I need you. I still have growing to do. Okay. I've been preaching the word for almost 30 years, guys, and I feel like I have come so short of where I should be. Okay. And in that, there's a humility because I need to be taught. I got to keep growing. I got to keep learning. It's something we all continue to do in the day we go home. But if you think you've arrived and you got it, you're buying into a lie. Okay. So keep us teachable. Verse 34, give me that understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in your path. That's a prayer, for I delight in it. Incline my ears. Help me to hear your testimony, that I do not, or and not to, or to covetousness. You guys know what coveting is? It's wanting something somebody else has. And that's not for us as Christians. Okay? God wants to set us free. Because there are so many people, they're looking at their friends, other families, that believer, I want what they have. And people just feel like junk. You know, why can't I have what they have? God says, well, stop coveting, you won't have that problem. You know, be content with what you have. Okay, the scriptures teach us godliness with contentment is great gain. But we do live in a culture that is so wealthy that we just get whatever we want. And it's one of those things. We come, oh, they have it. I want it. Well, we shouldn't do that. And the word of God will actually help us with that. It says in verse 37, then, turn my eyes from looking away from worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. So God is faithful to establish what he has spoken, guys. And you can jot down for verse 37 there, Job 31:3. Okay. Keep my eyes from looking at worthless things. There's a lot of people that just, what am I wasting my time looking at? You know, it's just I'm watching reel after reel. Okay. I got friends that are caught up in their pornography. Just can't. Hours of junk over and over again. It's just like, what are we giving ourselves to? I loved baseball, but the NBA, I actually paid for cable when I was a young man to have like TNT just so I could watch a basketball game every night. And the Lord convicted me actually through this word, this verse. Why are you wasting so much time just watching basketball? You know? And it's like, I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. You know what? I don't miss it that much, guys, at all, okay? It's one of those things, like, and Job made a covenant with his eyes. That's Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman, you know? And it's just one of those things. What are we choosing to look at? We need to make that a choice. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Do you guys long for that? Do you desire that? Do you want the word? Okay. For some people, it's painful to come to a church. It's like, oh, if you didn't preach so long, Lanny, you're a good preacher, but you preach too long. I can't hear. It's just like one of those things. You guys know we got brothers and sisters, man. Like today we had the sermon was probably an hour at least, right? If we were preaching in most of the world, they would be upset. Do you guys know Freedom Fellowship in Uganda? Man, pastors preaching almost 2 to 3 hours every Sunday. The people want more. They're hungry. And we sit there, oh, my butt's getting sore. No, we should delight in the word of God, okay? And it's one of those things, guys, do we actually long for it in that way? And pray if it's not the case, that God would change your heart in that way. And he says, revive me in your righteousness. So revive, God really revives those who desire to live righteously. Now, the next section, 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, in salvation according to your word. So God's mercy is never random, okay? And I love it because God saves us, but his word will steady us. And look at verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I will trust in him. We have an answer. Jot down next to verse 42, 1 Peter 3:15. It's the verse that says, always be ready to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope that you have. Why do you have faith in Jesus? We need to be ready to give an answer. And some people don't know how to answer it. Well, I haven't hidden God's word in my heart. What am I going to tell him? You know? Well, if I know the word, I have a lot to tell you, right? So the word, verse 42, it says, and take not your word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. And so shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. And I will walk in liberty. You guys know liberty is a big fancy word for freedom, right? That's why I like a church called Freedom Fellowship. And it's for freedom's sake that Jesus came. Do you guys know that? Okay, that's scripture. That's why he came. He wants us to be free. Well, according to his word, we're going to be free. Let's turn to John 8 real quick. I love this passage of scripture. You guys will see it back on that poster. We put that up like 16 years ago. The sanctuary used to be over in that half. And that's where we used to preach. And we had that freedom sign back there. But the bottom of them actually references John chapter 8, verse 32. But I want to look at verse 31 with you guys and 32 together because they fit together. So John tells us here in verse 31, Jesus was speaking to the Jews who believe. So these are believers. And he says in verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says you abide in my word. That's how you're actually going to do it. And if we abide in his word, check out what he goes on to say. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So many people are looking for true freedom, but they can't find it. They try this truth. They try that truth. None of those truths the world is giving stand. Everybody has a truth, but we know the truth, Jesus Christ, right? And his word is truth, and we're to be sanctified by it. So freedom's not bondage. I hope you guys see that as Christians. It should be the most liberating thing of all time. We are completely free. And it's not about legalism, you know? My brother Nathan at one point got a little hostile towards me, you know, and he was yelling at me one of the times. I wasn't even talking about the Lord, but just because I love Jesus, he's like, why don't you drink? He liked to drink. The whole family, alcoholism runs in my family. I like to drink. Okay. It's fun. Get loose. And then you do stupid stuff. That's the part I regret. Okay. Not good. I haven't drank in a very, very, very long time, you know? And I remember him, he was yelling at me, why don't you drink? Why would you want to be a Christian? You can't do nothing. You have no fun. And I'm like, dude, I drink as much as I want to drink. That's the truth, guys. We are free in Christ. All things are lawful for us. Apostle Paul taught us that. But not all things are beneficial. They're not helpful. I experienced what drinking did. I did a lot of stupid things that I really regret. I hurt people that I really loved when I was drunk. Why would I want to do that, right? If Christ has set me free, even though alcoholism runs in my family, I'm in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. I don't have to go there anymore. Do you guys understand the beauty of freedom that we share being followers of Christ, guys? And the world doesn't see that. They look at Christianity as bondage, but they don't understand. They have to sin. Does that make sense to you guys? A sinner has to sin. Christian, we're set free. We can choose to sin, but we don't have to any longer. God set us free. Okay? Sin has nothing on us. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And part of that is taking in His Word, right? That helps us be in the Spirit. So let's move on. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and you will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in your commandments. You know, think about that. This is so cool, which I love. You guys can jot down next to which I love, 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3. It's about loving the Word of God. Yeah, and the verse before, verse 46, that makes me think of bringing testimonies before the kings. Read Acts chapter 26 sometime this week. I love Acts. You guys remember Paul went before King Agrippa? He was not ashamed of the gospel. He laid it out crystal clear for this unbelieving king, right? And guys, that's what we should do because we're not ashamed. Verse 48 says, my hands, I also have lifted up your commandments, right? Which I love. We're exhorted in 1 Timothy that men ought to be lifting up their holy hands to the Lord. This is something that we get to do. And then he says in verse 48, lift up the hands which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Now the next section, 49, I call hope and affliction. And I want you guys to catch this part. Have you guys ever gone through trials, hardships, afflictions? I love what the psalmist has to say about that. First of all, he says, remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. And this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Wow. We have comfort in affliction. You guys can write down next to verse 50 there, 2 Corinthians verses, this first chapter, verses like 2 and 3, it talks about comforting others with the comfort in which we have been comforted. As Christians, guys, we have truth. And God will bring us comfort. And we get to minister to other people. Like I shared with you guys before, I had a long season of struggling with depression. Tried a lot of things, did counseling. Nothing was helping, guys. Nothing. And by the grace of God, He brought me through that. But you know what I've been able to do since then? I've counseled a lot of people who struggle with depression. I was able to share with them the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the comfort in which I received from Him in the dark night of the soul. I've been able to share with other people. Hey, I get that. That's real stuff. But God is there. Though you might not feel it, His promises are true. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You can talk to Him when you can't sleep in the middle of the night. He is right there. He'll meet with you. He'll comfort you. He'll give you His Spirit. And He does. The proud, it tells us in verse 51, have made me, or made a great derision. I do not turn aside from your law, right? Matthew 5:11 makes me think of that. I also remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and you have comforted me. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Wow. You guys know that sin should really grieve God's people? It should. Okay? Ephesians 4:26. That's a reality. Your statutes, verse 40 or 54, they've been my songs. I love that. In the house of my pilgrimage. Guys, worship should grow in wilderness. It's been in some of the hardest seasons in life. Going through those desert seasons, new songs are given. Singing. How many of you guys just worship the Lord? You'll just start singing. Maybe you don't even have to know a song. You just start singing to the Lord. It's beautiful, guys. Because we go through things, but when we're delighting in the Lord, it brings us perspective. When we're worshiping Him, we know that he is all powerful, that he is God, that he is on the throne, that he is good despite whatever is going on. It helps. Strongholds are broken in worship, guys. And we're also told in verse 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, to keep your law. This has become mine because I've kept your precepts. Next section, I call the Lord is my portion. Why? Because verse 57, you are my portion, O Lord. And I've said that I keep your words. I've entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I've entered your favor with my whole heart. Hebrews 4:16, write it down. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Okay? Cool book upstairs called Gentle and Lowly. Jesus invites us to come to him. All you who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, because I'm gentle and lowly. Like, it's so cool. Like, Jesus invites us, and we can go, right? Verse 59, I thought about my ways, okay? 2 Corinthians 3:15 tells us, hey, check yourself. Make you sure that you're actually in the faith, okay? Do you really believe? Just because you go to church doesn't make you part of the church. Does that make sense? Okay? You're either a saint or you ain't. One or the other, guys. Okay? So make sure you're in Christ. I have thought about my ways, 59, and I've turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste. I did not delay, okay, to keep your commandments. So I made haste. James 1:22 says, be hearers of God's word, not only the hearer, but also a doer of it. Like, we should actually do it. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked, they have bound me. Okay. But I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise and I will thank you because of your righteous judgments. I have a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of mercy. Teach me your statutes. Guys, Jesus is our greatest treasure. He is it. And isn't it easy to have fellowship with brothers and sisters that fear the Lord? You have that in common. Like, I know a lot of Christians, but ones that actually walk uprightly, fear him, seek him, those are my people. Those are the ones I want to hang out with. Who's going to keep stirring me up? You may have Christian friends, okay, but are they provoking you in the things of the Lord? Are they building you up, encourage you to run after Jesus? If they aren't, find some new Christian friends, okay? You want people that are going to build you up. Let's talk about the gift of affliction again in verse 65. You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, our God. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You guys can write down Luke chapter 15, verse 17. How many of you guys have heard of the prodigal son before? Right? There's one little phrase in that parable where it says, he came to himself. Like, reality hit. Here's the truth. I'm eating pig slop. And my dad's servants, they are eating. They're living better than I am, right? Reality set in. He came to himself. And that's what the word of God will actually do for us, guys. Verse 68, you are good and you do good. You guys know why? Because he is good. That's why. Teach me your statutes. The proud, they've forged a lie against me. But I keep your precepts with my whole heart. Heart, 1 Peter 3:16, their hearts, they're fat as grease. Guys, do you know that hard hearts will just intensify, you know, rebellion against God? That's all that happens, and that's what it's talking about. If your heart gets hard, you are going to push back from God. That's why we have to be praying that God keeps our hearts soft, and his word will do that. Because if you're like me, your thinking gets jacked up. Am I allowed to say that word, Scott? Okay. My thinking gets jacked up, okay? And that's why we need the word, because it renews our mind, right? It's just like, man, my thinking got off here. Even though I know the scripture says this, I forget. And I need to be reminded. And that's why it's good to keep going back to the word. What does God say? Hey, delight in the Lord. Seek after the Lord. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what? That's right. It's good when I'm doing that, but I haven't been doing that, and that's why I'm way over here, right? So, what verse are we on? 71. 71 is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. This one, right, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. You guys, if you've not read the account of Joseph in Genesis, please read it. But Joseph there, hey, what you meant for evil, what did God do? He meant it for good, right? That's perspective. That is truth. The world might be doing this. They, oh, 6:30. Thanks, bro. We're doing good. I got a half hour, right? Yep. Oh, pff, kick. So we got just over 100 left. Now, I can't say cake. Sorry, Sonny. The law of your mouth is better to me than 1,000 coins of gold and silver. Oh, guys, if your house was on fire and you could like grab one thing, what would that one thing be? Is it your word, the Bible? Would you grab your Bible? Are you so in love with the word of God? Like, I do not want to lose the word, right? I need the scriptures. Because he says, hey, it's better than all this wealth. Guys, wealth can fill your hands, but it'll never fill your soul. And that's the hope we have. That's the hope we get to share with the world. And that's why we share God's word with other people, because they need something that's real, okay? Great. You got all this stuff in this life. You're rich. Gain the whole world and lose your soul? Like, what's the cost? Okay, and people are really looking for what really fulfills. Now, 73, the next section, I call this the potter's hand. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding is his prayer, that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have opened your word. And I know, Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. Guys, sometimes God does wound us. Hear this. He wounds us to heal us. Okay? And it makes us stronger. Have you guys ever broken a bone? Any broken bones in this room? What happens after the bone heals? It's stronger, isn't it? It's the same thing, guys. If you're being chastened by the Lord, it's because he loves us. But there's times where he'll allow us to be broken that we actually grow. And that's just part of life. For you who are a little younger, you're walking the Lord, you're going to see that God actually does use affliction big time to mature us and grow us. Oh, it's painful, but it's a good thing in the end. Yeah. And you guys can also jot next to that Ephesians 2:10. It's the scriptures that says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Like, he's actually working on us, okay? Kind of like a piece of art. It's the word poema, workmanship, okay? He's doing a work. He's creating something in us. He's the potter, right? So verse 75 or 74, those who fear me will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, verse 76, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to the word of your servant. Let the tender mercies come to me that I may live in your law. It is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Guys, do you know that God is the one who molds us? He's the potter. He created us and molds us. And it tells us then in verse 79, okay, those who fear you, turn to me, and those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Next section 81, calling this waiting for God. My soul faints for your salvation. Isn't that cool? You guys ever just in awe of God loving you so much that he is Savior, all that he did to save you? There's times I'm just kind of dumbfounded, just thinking like, wow, you saved me. I know me. There's better people out there to save. Why would you save me, right? But I hope in your word, he says, guys, rest in God's promises. Does anybody know how many promises are in the Bible? Yeah, there is a lot. There's over 5,000. Wow. If God gives us promises, it's because he wants us to know something. We as Christians, we should probably know some of those promises, huh? I would encourage you guys, start studying those. Highlight those when you're reading. Oh, God, you promised this to me as your kid. Now, some of the promises are to other people, for Israel and such, but there are a lot of promises to us as his bride, as the church. A lot of promises. And it comes around his character and who he is. Check out verse 82. My eyes fail from searching your word. Man, my eyes hurt. I've been reading so much. Saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like wineskin in smoke. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? And when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? I or the proud, they've dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments, they are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so I may keep your testimonies of your mouth. Guys, we're exhorted in 2 Corinthians 4:16, do not lose heart. Don't do it. That's what we're told as believers, right? And God does have a plan. He is working things out. Look at the next part here. Verse 89. This is, you can put there, God's word stands forever, okay? Because it's permanent. God's word is unchanging, guys. Check out what he says here. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Okay, again, Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain. Okay, Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, okay, everything is going to pass away. All is gone, but his word remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said. Think about that. Everything, but his word's going to remain. So we should never take his word lightly. He even esteems his word above his own name. Why? Because it's God breathed. This is who he is. This is what he declares. So we should be in awe of his word in such a way. And then it says in verse 90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. So it's not just your parents, your grandparents. No, generation to generation. You establish the earth. And it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, he prays, for I've sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. And I have seen the consumption of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Guys, the word of God's eternal. That's the point that he's making here. Okay? It will stand. It is fixed, settled in heaven forever. Now let's go to the next part, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. All day. Jot down Acts 17:11. I mentioned those Bereans before. I want to share that scripture with you. It says that the Bereans, they were a people group, okay, that lived in Berea. It says they were more fair-minded than those who were in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness, but then they would go and search the scriptures to find out whether or not those things are so. Okay. Now, God says they were more fair-minded. Why? Because they would actually go check out what was being preached. Okay. And I think a lot of the mainstream denominations probably would have nobody left if their people would actually just go read their Bibles. You know? It's just like, wait a minute. I'm praying to this gal named Mary. I hail this woman named Mary. Well, I read the Bible and it says there's one mediator. That's Jesus. It says we shouldn't pray to the dead and we're only to pray to God. Settled. Who's right? A denomination or God? It's one of those things, guys, I encourage you, be Bereans. Even here, I want you to be well taught. I want you to be able to trust me, but I'm not perfect. I don't always get the word right. That's why we need to go back to the scriptures. Be Bereans with everything you hear. Receive the word with readiness, but go and search the scriptures for yourselves. So we're told then in verse 98, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Think about that, guys. Commandments can make you wiser. Are any of you guys simple people? I'm pretty simple, but the word of God can make us wise. That's what God says. Makes wise the simple. That's why I love Proverbs. For they are ever with me. Okay? That makes me think of where Paul, I don't know if Paul wrote Hebrews, I think he did, but in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about us as believers needing meat, like solid meat. That's how we grow, guys. We need to be nourished. But there's some Christians, as Peter says, hey, they're babes in Christ because all they do is stay on the milk of the word. No, we need to grow solid food for us who are believers. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You want to be smarter than your professors? Study the scriptures. How many of you guys are planning on going to college? Secular university? Okay. You'll probably have a professor. I've had a lot of students who went off to university. They reached out and like, hey, I got this prof, first class, called me out for being a Christian. Told me if I believed in a creator, I'm stupid. You know what, guys? The word will make you wiser. Because if you can't get the first verse of the Bible down, believe it, get that, everything else is going to be a mess. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Guys, that's foundational for everything pertaining to life. And if we can't just stand upon the word of God, the first word, we got some problems. And we've seen the fallout of that. There is no God, then everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Okay? And we exchange truth for a lie. We suppress the truth. Think about that. When you guys look at creation, what do you guys think? There must be a creator. Look at all the creation. I'm simple enough to do that math, right? It's what the Bible says. I believe it. But we have some really smart professors out there saying, nothing made everything. Who has more faith? Right? I believe in a creator creating everything. You got more faith than I do, mister, because there's no evidence. All the science we have proves that there's intelligent design. And you're going against what science, what the word of God says. Hey, there's intelligent design here. Something obviously created this. Guys, it's okay to be simple if we're trusting God's word. Okay? Because if we're not trusting God's word and we're simple, we're just going to be tossed to and fro all over the place. Well, this guy said this thing. He said that thing. I'm willing to believe anything. Okay? But if we trust God's word, it's going to make us wise. It's going to give us a foundation. We'll know the truth, and the truth's going to set us free that we don't end up believing stupid lies. So, moving on. Sorry if that sounded a little harsh. It just bothers me. Fools say that there is no God. Right? Proverbs 14, verse 1. Or wait, Psalm 14, 1. One of the 14 ones. I don't know which one it is. Anyways, what verse are we on? 97? We made it to 100? I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Now, check out 101. I want you guys to catch this. I've retrained my feet, okay, from evil or from every evil way that I may keep your word. Guys, keep yourself from evil, okay? There's evil over there. Don't go hang out over there. Pretty simple, right? That's an evil dude. Well, don't hang out with evil dude. That was Psalm 1 that we just read. I shared with our men on Thursday night, jot down 2 Timothy 2:22. Love the scripture. Flee youthful lusts. And the word flee is phugo. And it always, the only reason I can remember that is like, fool, go. Get away from sin. Like, just run. Get out of there. So, the word of God helps us to do that. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay, Jeremiah 15:16. Honey, it is good, it is sweet. The word of God's even better. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Okay, some people think I'm a hater. It's just like, why do you have such an issue with Muslims? I don't have an issue with Muslims. I love them. Do you guys know that my Savior died for them? Do you guys know that? I have a problem with Islam. The Quran's from the pit of hell. It's false. Do you know what the unforgivable sin is for a Muslim? The Quran teaches if you say God has a son and he died on a cross, that is the unforgivable. It's a right out attack on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior. There is only one way to heaven. And the Quran comes against the truth. Big time, guys. So do you guys understand when we stand for truth, if we really believe the gospel and we're not ashamed of it, if we believe the Bible, we're going to have a hard time. Because my Muslim friend, I love you and I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm going to give a Bible to you. I'm going to encourage you to read the Gospel of John. Know that there is a God who loves you. Because the Quran teaches Allah does not love. Allah actually hates you. That's what the Quran teaches. I want you to know the true and living God and who he says he is. I want you to understand grace. Because there's so many. It's not just Islam, guys. It's every single religion in the world. I have a hard time with all of them. Because every single one of them is works-based. Even some of the Christian ones, you have to do this to be saved. That goes against the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is unbiblical. Do you guys understand why we as Bible believers have a hard time with everything that is false to a point of hating it? Because it is keeping people away from their Creator, from being forgiven of their sins, to have eternal life. I think it's actually unloving. If we're okay, hey, you do you. You're okay believing a lie and ending up in hell. If I had a friend that I knew was dying of some disease and I had the pill that could bring a cure, if I didn't give him that pill, what would you guys think of me? You selfish, I was going to say a word. Right? Yeah, I'm horrible. That is a horrible thing to do, guys. Okay, so it's not being mean. It's actually coming from a place of love. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And why do we do that? Because God loves us to tell us the truth. God could have just left us to ourselves. Never spoke. Never revealed anything. But he has spoken, guys. This is why we should delight in his word. All right, what verse are we on? 102. You guys are really going slow. So let's pick up the pace. 104. Thank you. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, the next one we're going to call the lamp. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Doesn't that make you think of John 8:12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He is the Logos. He's the word of God. The word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your judgments. I was afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord. Some people say we don't have free will. What does the Bible say? Free will offering. That's on you. You have a choice. The Gospel of John says, whoever wills to do his will, we have free will, but will we actually do the will of God? That's our choice. That's what the Bible teaches us, guys. And teach us your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, and I have not strayed from your precepts. For your testimonies have taken, it's taken as a heritage forever, and they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Guys, God's word gives us daily direction. And then the next one I'm calling perfect peace, starting in verse 113. I hate the double-minded. I love your law, for you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. You guys can jot down Isaiah 26:3. That's one of my favorite Bible verses. You will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed upon you. That is a promise from God. You guys ever have peace ripped off? I just want peace. God promises that for those whose minds are stayed upon him. And I don't know about you guys, but being in his word is the thing that helps me more than anything. Keeping my mind focused on him. So you are my hiding place and shield, he said. You are my hope. 115, depart from me, you evildoers, for I keep the commandments of God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live. And I do not be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, and their deceit is falsehood. And you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Next section, time for God to work. Check out verse 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety of your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation in your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy. Again, not according to merit, but according to God's mercy. And teach me your statutes. So I encourage you guys, always appeal to the character of God. What do we know about God? Right? God is love, right? Appeal to that. God so loved the world. We know that because he is love. There's some Christians who say that God doesn't love everybody. Limited atonement. That's not appealing to the character of God, what God has revealed in his word. And when you do that, you end up with stupid theology, unbiblical theology. So I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as a void. Therefore, I love your commandments. You guys catch how many times he said he loves his commandments? Okay? Love. We don't know what love is here because I love Culver's. Some of you guys love your dogs. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love... Yeah, biking's cool. I don't know. There's a lot of things that we just give lip service to loving, but to truly have affection for, to love, to truly love. This is what he's getting to. Like, hey, more than gold, yes, than fine gold, than the most precious things in this life. I love your word. Can you guys say that? I encourage young people all the time. Hey, when you're done with high school, go to Bible college for a year. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn his word. Don't take that for granted. Fall in love with his word, because that's one thing that you will have the rest of your lives, guys. Love his word. Know his word. So Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, the next part, wonderful words, your testimony are wonderful, and there my soul keeps them. Your entrance, you guys can highlight verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I love that. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of waters, they run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Do you guys weep for those who don't have the word of God? Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, they are righteous and very helpful. Guys, God never makes a wrong decision. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your word. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet not forget your precepts. Your righteousness and everlasting righteousness and the law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, and your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry out from my own heart, hear me, O Lord. I keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I will rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. Morning devotions, guys. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice, and draw near who follow after wickedness and are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and your commandments are truth concerning your testimonies. And I have known of old that you have founded them forever. And then the next part, 153, this is a whole revive me section. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treachery and the disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts and revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, all of it, Genesis to Revelation, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. And now this great peace, 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word, and I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. And I hate and I abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you. Seven in the scripture is completion. So complete praise. Because of being in God's word, we praise him. Because of your righteous judgments, great peace I have, or have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope in your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them. How much, guys? Exceedingly, and I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. We can't hide anything from God, guys. And then the last part, I call this, the shepherd seeks his sheep. He says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word, and let your supplication come before me. Deliver me according to your word. My lips, they shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Can you guys say that? The word of God is your delight. Let my soul live, and I shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray. Catch the last verse of this entire psalm, guys. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. It makes me think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, you know, where he begs us as sojourners, as pilgrims, guys, to abstain from all the fleshly lusts which come against our souls, right? He says, we've all gone astray. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So that is Psalm 119. I pray you guys don't shy away from it just because it is so long, because it is the great psalm for a reason. Guys, it's something we should delight in, go back to. And there will be a lot of verses. I have a handful in here that are some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. They're found in this one chapter. Because we know as believers just how good his word is. So Father, thanks for this time. Thank you so much for your word. We are so grateful, God, that we have the privilege of having a Bible, to be able to know your word, God, to be able to delight in it. That is truly a gift. And I do pray, Colossians 3:16 for each of my brothers and sisters here tonight, that we would allow, that we would make, God, that it would be a reality for each and every one of us, that your word richly dwells in each and every one of our hearts. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for sticking through that, guys.
Landed the plane on time.
Pretty awesome. God is good. God is good. Do you guys have any questions? No? Psalm 119, pretty cool? Pretty cool. All right. Lord bless your week, guys. Delight in the Lord and his word.